But also,
so did he shave his ankles?
No, he didn't shave his ankles. He made fun of me for shaving mine because he thought it was less manly or something. I was like, yeah, whatever. You look like one of those guys who wears like dress socks every day, and eventually the hair is just missing from that part of their leg.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That's what he was making fun of me for. Mm. Yeah,
that's tough. That's a tough way to go. There was one time I shaved like part of my eyebrow off at like eighth grade, I think. That was the worst year of my life because I wore my
hat. Was it like that slit?
I wore my hat like this the whole time, and I was just like, I cannot go out in public. Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better, and by the power of his spirit, do better. So together, we can be a little better. Hey, 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 we're back. It is the
BB Pod,
otherwise known as the Brighton Podcast. We're coming to you live from A Little Better Studios, and we're grateful that you are here with us. Noah.
Yeah, bro.
What a message, dude. Can you give us the message in 60 seconds and just kind of tell us, what did you leave on the table as we look back at your message?
Yeah. This week we talked about the parable of the bigger barns and a guy who had some greed in his heart, and Jesus connected the idea of greed to worry. And I was feeling pretty good about myself reading this passage until we got to the part about worry. And then I'm thinking, ooh, maybe I do worry about not having enough and I need more and more and more to fill that hole in my heart. And so Jesus just wants us to trust in him and not in our possessions, and to live for meaning rather than money, for purpose rather than possessions. And that's kind of the point of the parable.
Yeah, for sure. What was, for the both of you, this is Kylie, by the way, and this is Noah, clearly. What was your favorite part of the parable or favorite part of the message as we look back on the...
For me, I think redefining what success is in my life. Okay. I think... You know, living in the corporate environment and growing, you know, CPA and doing the accounting and sales. And, you know, I was with some guys who I make the best sales calls after doing a line of Coke on the back of a toilet, you know, and just this hard driving, charging, crazy environment, this culture. And maybe, you know, it's toxic. It's crazy. It's greedy. It's aggressive.
And it's unsanitary.
It's crazy. and to redefine success as seeking first the kingdom of God. And to trust him with everything that I have and to please him with everything that I have, rather than to build a big pile of possessions that I can eat, drink, and be merry because I'm safe and I'm secure and I don't have to worry about anything anymore. So rather than trying to fix my worries and resolve my feelings of worry and lack of happiness through more stuff, I need to find it in Christ and my fulfillment in seeking first the kingdom of God, and all else will be added unto you. And so that's for me the biggest takeaway is don't worry about what you have, but trust that God will provide.
Yeah, for sure.
Mine was kind of similar to that. I think going off the point where you were talking about the balance between, or the difference between worrying and being wise, I think that's like a struggle that I sit in a lot. Like, where is the line between being responsible, especially with like finances? Like, how can you be responsible and set yourself up for success and have a plan in place without being like, I only trust in my own abilities to do this. So I think that's something I'll continue to wrestle with as like I reflect on these scriptures moving forward. But the thing that stood out a lot was when you were talking about the heart posture and the difference between like, if you're making these plans because you don't trust that God's going to provide, that's obviously leading you into a position of worry. But if you're making these plans trusting that God has given you the wisdom and will continue to provide blessings to like keep you in that direction, that's like setting you up for success without being self-reliant. So that point stood out to me, back to tying into like not worrying about it, but trusting the Lord with it and having... evaluating where your heart posture is as you make plans.
Yeah, for sure. My favorite part of the message kind of goes back to really this past season with the both of you, as well as this upcoming season as I look to move to Peru. Jim Elliot, one of my heroes, he says, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to earn what he cannot lose." Talk to me about that, that quote. What about it is just so powerful, and what about it challenges you as you look to live your life? Because both of you, as I look at your lives, you guys gave up something for a year at least, and somehow it's going to end up being a little bit more as we look to progress for you, and as you transition into a new season in Texas, you're giving up a portion. How does that look for you guys? How are you guys giving up so that you're going to earn what you cannot lose?
First, I think reflecting on the last year, like, yeah, there were sacrifices that we needed to make to be here, but even looking at that, there's blessings that are so much better.
Oh, come on.
So much better than what I could have planned for myself. Yeah, I think it ultimately also ties back into what we were talking about, I believe was last week, with the cost of discipleship. That's what first comes to my mind of like giving up what you can't lose is you're giving up the fleeting things in front of you, the instant gratification, the comfort, the plans. Honestly, for me, that's what it comes back to a lot. Yeah. Is like the plans that I had that I thought made sense. Yeah. Like I'm giving those up, trusting that the Lord is going to step in and put me in a direction that is totally different, but so much better. Mm. And a lot of times that also comes back to an eternal perspective. I think I was talking about this the last time we were on the podcast, actually, but that comes back to me a lot. Like the immediate worldly perspective versus looking at it through God's eternal perspective. Mm. And that's the things that we don't lose. Those are the things that last in eternity, are like the relational impacts, the heart change that we get to see. And like all of what we saw at Brighton was like, you know, people deciding to follow Christ, or us like diving farther into our relationships with Christ. Like those are the things that the Lord wants to bless us with. And those are the things that last and are worth everything else that we give up to see that happen.
Yeah, I think I was challenged by, I mean, missions exist because worship doesn't. You know, John Piper, "Don't Waste Your Life," talks about collecting seashells down in Florida when you retire.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to waste my life. You only get one. You only get one life, and it's short, and it's fleeting. It says it's like a breath, you know, that's here today and gone tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like grass that withers, that fades away, like flowers that spring up and fade away. And just like the lilies of the valley that don't have to worry, you know, we don't have to worry, and God will take care of our lives, but I just don't want to waste it. You know, I think you get one shot. Don't take it easy. Don't coast to the finish line. Don't collect seashells. Don't sever relational equity with people that you love. Like chase those people, chase that heart that God has for them, and share the gospel with them, love on them, care about them. And, our next generation needs us and the older generations above us to pour back in to the young adults, to the kids, to the teens, to show them the love of Christ and to share the gospel with them, not to coast into the retirement years and enjoy. Yeah. We need that wisdom. We need that advice. We need that guidance. And I just don't want my life to be a coast. I don't want to be on a roller coaster. I just want to be steady, consistent, following Jesus with my whole heart, undivided, seek first the kingdom of God, giving from my first fruits, irrationally generous, going above and beyond to share the gospel, to change lives and hearts, to live out what God's put in my heart, in my life. And so, I mean, if it's about me, then I missed it, you know, and if it's about a big pile for my bank account, I missed the whole point of this life, you know. Jesus put me here for a purpose and not to build a pile, you know, not to be a dragon living under a mountain with a big pile of money underneath me.
Yeah, I was just thinking for the both of us specifically, we both left our jobs to go and launch Brighton. And I was just thinking about the money that we could have made within this past year would have been great, right? And we could have like given it away or done whatever with it. And both of us are pretty generous with that. But I just think about the relational equity that we were able to have with people, the people that we were able to invest in.
Was way more than the relationships.
I just think about all our core friends who have stepped up, or the people who have become our core friends, or the core people of Brighton. Like that relational equity and those relationships are going to spring load other relationships. And that is so much more worth it for me and for you and for you. Just seeing those people grow like that is that's a win right there. That's something I look at.
You get to trust God. My first ever capital campaign, we were building the building in Rochester campus.
Okay.
And I'm sitting in the service and they're talking about money. And I hate when people talk about money from stage. Too. It feels weird. Yeah. It's like, uncomfortable. What this guy trying to do to me, you know, he's trying to manipulate me. But I was listening to the message and I was just praying and asking God what his direction would be. And I had $900 to my name. I'd made it on a farm, like picking apples and stuff. And
come on.
I had these $900 and I was like, I'm going to buy a car. I was 16, about to buy my first car. And I wanted this Plymouth Sundance. And it was an old missionary's car. It was older than I was. The trunk was rusted out. I had to put a countertop in the back to get the spare tire in there.
Really?
On top of it. It was so rusted. You could see the ground while you drove it. There was crushed in. Three doors didn't, like three doors worked. One door didn't. Yeah. It was crushed in on the side. Yep. Paint was peeling off it. Upholstery falling down. No stereo. The thing was crazy. I mean, it was wild. They call it the Red Rocket.
Was it better than the Corolla?
It is. It was. It was a vibe of a car. A vibe of a car. But I said, okay, Lord. And the person wanted $600 for the car.
Yeah.
Okay, Lord, I'll give you $300 of my $900.
Yeah.
And then you can I'll buy the car.
Yeah.
And as I sat there, I felt like he was just asking, no, I want you to give me the car. I want you to give me the $600 that it would cost to buy the car. I want you to give me the car. And I'm thinking, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to trust God with my, that's not what I want to do. And as he worked on my heart, I sat there longer, got more and more convinced that God was asking me to give that $600. Mm-hmm. So I gave the $600 as we all walked onto the stage, made our commitments, and I gave it that day. I didn't commit for a longer term. It was just, here's a $600, Lord.
Yeah.
Went home, and like 2 weeks later, my dad comes home, and it was one of his friends selling us the car. It was actually Pastor Bame. Shout out Pastor Bame.
Shout out Dave.
And Pastor Bame said, you know, this car is really worth less than $600. I want to sell it to you for $300.
Wow.
And so my dad came home with the car and the keys. And he said, Pastor Bane thought it was too much at $600. He wanted to sell it to you at $300. Here's the keys. Ran up to my room, got my last $300, handed it to my dad, took the keys. And I was driving away, tears in my eyes, screaming worship music from the top of my full head.
He didn't even have a speaker. My
windows
guy was
down.
singing random
a
music.
Mozilla MP3 player with battery-operated speakers in the passenger seat.
Come on.
It was sick. MP3 players, shout out. Man, haven't had those around in a couple years. But,
That is amazing.
That's crazy. An awesome story.
Yeah.
And just shows, like, how when God can move in your heart, like, God is still moving outside of that, and he's still working.
Yep.
And he continues to be faithful. How does your life look rich in the Lord, just kind of going off that story, compared to living rich in the world? How does your life look rich in the Lord versus being rich in the world?
For me, I think it's being intentional about using time to pour into relationships over time to earn money.
Yeah.
I think that's been something that I've like wrestled with as a college student and like thinking about transitioning out of that stage of my life, like how much do I want to work? How much time do I want to just be able to slow down to spend with people? And I think one of those ways, or just spend with God, one of those ways is like setting aside time to be alone or time to be with people over time to do something productive.
Yeah.
Because again, going back to what we already said, that's what makes the impact is like those moments where you're slowing down and being with the Lord or slowing down and being with people, then just accumulating more.
Yeah.
I think enjoying time with God and noticing him in other people's hearts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is what brings me closer to my relationship with God and being rich with my relationship with God. So enjoying beautiful creation, enjoying scripture, enjoying thinking and meditating or praying with God on a walk, enjoying spending time with someone who's eating ice cream and thanking Lord for the taste buds he gave me, you know?
Yeah, finding things that stir your affections for the Lord.
A spiritual yummy,
a
if
spiritual
you will.
A spiritual yummy, yes. if you will. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I think of some people that I just really admire and really respect in the faith, like, those are the people that you just see the joy kind of flow out of them and flow into others. I think of this lady. She was a missionary and just kind of living and pouring into others. And every interaction that I had with her, her name is Miss Libby Stevens, shout out. She just like loved you and just saw you where you were at and was just right there with you in every conversation. Mm-hmm. Like as much as what's going on around her, she was just so present and her love for the Lord was just so, so evident. Yeah. And I think that's really what being rich in the Lord is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? I think a lot of people, when they seek being rich in the world too, it's focused on experiences. Mm-hmm. Like what next thing can I be entertained by or can I experience?
Yeah. Yeah.
But but when you are looking at your relationship with the Lord as experiences that you enjoy and like sit in, that takes you to a different depth of like filling that void I think we try to fill by like going like getting the next thing or going to the next thing or experiencing the next thing that we can instead experience with like the community of God or with God himself. Like when you look at it as moments that you truly like savor and enjoy, that's different than just like checking the box of I went to church or I read my Bible. Yeah. Like it's something you can enjoy and experience that you can enjoy and just spend time in.
Yeah. Man,
you guys are so wise. Oh my word.
You're so wise.
I'm so You're so wise. You're 10 out of 10. You're 10 out of 10.
Appreciate you guys.
10 out of 10.
Love working with you so much.
Grateful for you. Yeah. How do you know God's voice? How, like, as you desire to seek to live that life of looking rich and living rich in the Lord, how do you know God's voice? What are some ways that you hear him?
Hmm. One thing I think is it'll never contradict scripture. Yeah. And so if you hear something, you think you feel something or whatever, it will never contradict scripture. So God's voice will always be consistent with his word.
Yeah.
And, oftentimes it's not what you want to hear. For me anyways, I was like, you're right. You know, I didn't want to hear, I should give 600. I wanted to hear, give 300. You're doing the right thing. Go ahead, Noah. So oftentimes it will feel uncomfortable or it might feel like not what you want to do. And it probably won't feel like it's going to make you the most happy, but it might make you the most holy. And so those are really hard, to discern. And sometimes it can be hard to hear, you know, sometimes you go through a dry season, you don't have to hear him in every moment, but I do think the Bible says that he is our good shepherd and my sheep will know me, my voice, you know, they'll know when I call them. And so, we should be listening for God in each and every day. And I think, you will hear him when you listen for him.
Be looking out for him in the stillness and in the quiet. And then in your quality friends, like I have loved being able to work and do life alongside the both of you, because there has been times as I prepare for this next season of like, should I really do this? And both of you have just challenged me and affirmed me and just being like, yes, this is where God is calling you.
Yeah, we got your back.
Oh, for sure.
About to have tears on this podcast.
Tears on the pod, tears on the B pod. What are some practical ways to seek the kingdom? And what are some practical ways to kind of see Jesus?
I first think of the obvious things of what Noah was just saying of being in scripture and recognizing the Lord's voice, because he teaches us throughout his word how to seek him and know him more. And yeah, learning through other people also about what it has looked like for them to seek the Lord. But I think just being in a relationship with him, enjoying him, like taking those moments, like we already said, to just go and be in silence and solitude. It's making me think of Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer. Clearly, I was really paying attention last week to the sermon. But yeah, there's like, instead of just knowing about God, really knowing God and seeking him through developing a relationship with him will then like flow over into the way that we live and how we view what the kingdom is and how our lives play into growing the kingdom.
I think that enjoying Christ it's an art, not like a science, you know? And so it might come in different ways at different times. And it's not always uniform, you know, like, you do these three things and then here it is. But I think it's interesting. Like there's certain things you can do, like clear your head, dwell on scripture, memorize scripture, read the Psalms, study God's word. You could pray more, find friends who pray with you, pray in community group, find relationships that point you to Jesus.
Yeah.
Those are all ways I think you can spend time with him and get to know him better and invest in your relationship with God. But ultimately I think it's about seeking him, and you know, any avenue that you're going to take requires seeking. And it says, when you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Knock and the door will be opened. Jesus says, what loving father is going to give his son a snake when he asks for bread, you know, or like a brick when he a rock when he asks for bread, or like a snake when he asks for fish? No, like the Lord will provide what you need when you need it. If you ask him, if you seek him, if you knock on that door, if you're looking for him, you'll find him. And you know, you can give all these three-step plans in Bible, whatever, or practice the the way. Yeah, it's great. Mm-hmm. Sabbath days and all these good practices and habits to have, and those things point us to Jesus. But I think, like, ultimately it has to come from a desire to seek first the kingdom of God and to seek God out and to find him in your life.
Yeah. I've been catching myself a lot lately feeling like my thoughts are really pointed toward seeking just, like, selfish desires or, like, really dwelling on myself a lot. And so I think one of the ways that we can do that in seeking the Lord with all of your heart is just checking your thoughts and being like, what are my thoughts actually pointed towards? Yeah. Like, are they pointed towards Christ? Are they pointed towards people pleasing or, I don't know, pleasing like yourself or perfectionism or whatever that is?
That's because you could memorize scripture for the wrong reason. Yes. You could memorize scripture to know more, to look good in front of other people.
Yep.
Or you can memorize scripture to seek God.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, even in your Bible reading, are you just doing it to get the check marks on the Bible plan? Or are you doing it to seek God in the morning?
Yeah.
You know, and like all my friends are looking at my check marks. You know, whoa. You click through the plan really quick and then have all the checks.
See, yeah.
Bro, like, are you seeking God? I don't care about what you're doing.
Yeah. It's like worship music too. I think about like, is it just in the background playing or is your heart like in a posture of worship where you're really trying to get closer to the Lord through that or honor him through that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's good.
It is real good.
Yeah. I think the Constitution was actually edited. The original Constitution, when they were writing it, said for the pursuit of life, liberty, and property.
Mm-hmm.
And they changed it to all man has inalienable rights for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
And I just think that pursuit of happiness leaves us empty over and over and over. We try to find happiness in all these other ways and all these other avenues, you know, buying the thing or, you know, having the item or having a balance in our bank account or security or retirement. And I'm able to retire. I don't have to work anymore. You know, I'm set. I'm secure. But I think ultimately the pursuit of happiness just leaves you, reveals how empty we really are and how little we have on our own. And without Christ shining in us, our lives are worthless. They're empty. They're shells. They're just husks, chaff, the Bible calls them. And to find meaning, you have to find Christ.
What currently is breaking your heart? You kind of mentioned it a little bit in your message, but what is currently breaking your heart?
Mm. Do you want to take on me too?
You can go for it.
Lost people are what are far from people far from God is what is what's hardest for me because I think we work so hard to manage behavior, but really it's Christ who makes all the difference.
Yeah.
If we can help people see Jesus more clearly in our city, I trust and believe that this city will be different tomorrow
for
than it is today. And I think that we have a bright future on the horizon in Rochester because man, do we have young adults passionate, sold out for the gospel?
Absolutely.
Do we have a church committed to Christ? And my desire is to see people far from God come to know him. And we've seen 26 baptisms in Brighton this year.
Come on.
Just to see lives begin to move more like Jesus did. And even if it's one or two people who are just on fire for the gospel, living it out passionately, sold out, man, those are the things that I'm like, it breaks my heart to see a city living without Christ and second highest child poverty rate, murders per capita through the roof.
Yeah.
The way people behave is really bad, but I don't want to change behavior. I want to help people meet Jesus and help him change their hearts. I want him to change all of our hearts.
That's it. Yeah.
That he renews all of our hearts, that he provides revival in my spiritual life and your spiritual life and this city's spiritual life.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's definitely mine also, but something I've been thinking about more recently as I'm going to Texas is just like the lukewarm faith and like knowing about God but not knowing him. And I don't know if that that's currently like something that is just a frustration. Like I don't tolerate that well. Like I don't know how you could know all of this about God and not be like all in with your whole heart, your whole self. And I think that's something that like going down there and being in that culture where like the Bible is so quickly talked about or referenced or church is so quickly talked about or referenced, but not seeing those actions play out will be really hard for me. So I'm excited to see how the Lord like grows and stretches me in that and being around that. But yeah, that breaks my heart to like know the story of Jesus, to see who he is, but not be bought in like on fire for Christ, like the people that we see here, like that, because the contrast here is like, you either don't know Jesus at all, or you just love him so much. And so then thinking about people being in that in between place where you're not like on fire for him is really hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of go in similarly to the both of you. As I move to Peru, like, there's people that I love and that I care about who don't know the Lord or are not pursuing the Lord, and that breaks my heart. Noah walked in with me just bawling my eyes out as I just thought about those people, because they're people I care about, people I want to see just worshiping and following after the Lord wholeheartedly. And then kind of the same thing, as I move to a different place, how am I going to be able to speak the gospel and speak truth over a different population than what it is here, where I'm comfortable and have the people, have the things, know the routines? How am I going to go somewhere where I don't know those routines, don't know how to interact with those people as best? So how can we respond to what breaks our heart? How can we respond to what breaks our heart?
I think related to what we were just talking about, it's on the pray, invest, invite strategy. At least it has been for me. We shouldn't take any action without praying about it. I feel like that's a good starting point.
Come on,
but
sister.
Then going off of that, you have action that you can take, not just sitting in that prayer spot and being like, oh, well, God will handle it. Like, he will, but he's also given us gifts and passions to go out and do the thing also. So investing in people, investing in whatever thing it is that is breaking your heart, thinking about, brainstorming, like, what action can I actually take to have this impact? And then going out and doing it, that invite piece, like actually making those connections and taking action to the plans that God has put on your heart through the prayer that you have already done.
Yeah. I think serving NYM, serving kids, men.
Yeah, come on.
If that's your next step, if your heart's for the teens or the kids, if you're to solve cancer, give to an organization or find someone to partner with where you can serve. Or if it's for the elderly, go work with the elderly. If there's a homeless shelter, you know, go work at Open Door. Like, those are all opportunities that sit right in front of you, Open Doors. But I would
like
say,
what's holding you back?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's holding you back from that?
Yeah. Help solve the problem that's breaking your heart.
Like,
there are little steps. And if you want to connect with one of our staff, that's what we're here to do, is equip the saints to do the work of ministry. So
we're all about it.
Let's equip our church to do the work of the ministry. So if you have questions, you want to come talk to one of our staff members, we'd love to help you find next steps. But I would say jump in, like, solve the problem that's breaking your heart. If cancer's wrong with the world, solve cancer. Like, I would challenge you to solve cancer. Like, that. I would love to see our church do that. Like, that would be...
That'd be insane.
Crazy.
That'd
be awesome, right? Yeah. To see the king... That a church in Rochester, New York solved a big problem like that.
Yeah.
Because someone cared enough to try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all we ask. Just take that first step. Mm-hmm. Jump right in. Guys, thanks so much for being here. Mm-hmm. I love you both so much.
Mm-hmm. I love you too.
Grateful to work with you. Mm-hmm. Joy to do life with you.
So special.
Absolute pleasure. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being here with us. Please come back. This has been the
B-Pod
for a Little Better Podcast. We love you guys so much. Please come back next week for part 5 of Storyteller.
Peace.
Peace.